So that's Psalm 107, starting on page 610. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord.
Let's pray. Loving Father, we pray this morning that you would give us wisdom as we ponder your loving deeds. Amen. So, we've thought about confession. We've thought about petition. We've done a deep dive into the darkness of lament. And we're going to pray. We're going to finish by thinking about praise and thanksgiving. Now, I know that these last 36 hours has been a rapid cranking through the gears of prayer. I know that we're quickly moving through very different types of prayer. And actually, not just different types of prayer, but different emotions, different situations. We've moved from sober to needy to despair, and now we're going to jump with joy and gratitude. And of course, life is not like that. So forgive me if this is a little bit of a kind of whistle-stop tour of the human heart. But hopefully, what we are learning as we do, you know, as we go through this, as we rapidly go through these psalms, is that God contains all of our experiences and all of our emotions. Every time and every situation are appropriate for prayer. It's always right to pray. There's never a season you don't pray, and there's never a situation in which you cannot pray. There's never a wrong moment, never a wrong season. Of course, what we pray may vary, what we feel may vary, how we pray may vary, the words we use and how we cope may vary, but God does not vary. He is the same covenant God who contains all of these things. So here in this talk, we're moving from the depths of despair in Psalm 88 to delight in Psalm 107. We're moving from darkness being our closest friend to declaring the goodness of the Lord. We've just thought about unanswered prayer, and now we're going to think about answered prayer. I hope you can cope. Now, the big thing I think we need to see in this psalm is this connection between pondering the works of the Lord and the praise of the Lord. Look at me right at the end of the psalm, verse 43. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Be wise, it says, ponder. I don't know how often you use the word ponder, but it means essentially think, doesn't it? Think, consider, reflect on. We certainly spend lots of time thinking. We plan, we daydream, we worry and ruminate, we imagine, we hope, we plot, we obsess. We're thinking all the time. But what I want us to think about from this scripture is how our thinking drives our praying and our praising. See, I think praise, and maybe thanksgiving as well, is one of the things that falls off the back end of our lives. You know, we're pushed into confession sometimes, where, you know we've done something or said something. We're pushed into petition because we feel needy, but praise can evaporate. When did you last spend an unforced 30 minutes by yourself just praising and thanking the Lord? I'm sure you spend 30 minutes doing all kinds of things, running on a treadmill or watching some Netflix series, or just drinking a cup of coffee in Starbucks and staring out the window. But when did we last spend that time just praising the Lord? We need to get used to it, because we're going to be doing a lot of it in glory. We need to warm up our praise muscles, because they're going to get a lot of exercise. So Psalm 107 would say to us that actually what we need, if we're going to do this, is to ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. This is what God wants you and I to be thinking about. So let's take a break from ruminating and daydreaming and worrying. This psalm is here to encourage us, to strengthen us and to spur us on. And we're told here about a love that is out of this world. I don't know if you remember last year, it was kind of in the news, there was an item about an interstellar object coming into our solar system. I don't know if you picked up that kind of news item. And everyone got very excited. And one professor somewhere suggested it might be an alien spaceship. It's very exciting. And it was, in fact, not an alien spaceship, but a comet. But the comet had an origin outside of our solar system. And that is the third object ever that has been detected, that's come from outside our solar system into our solar system. So people were very excited. Now, we're going to think about something today that's come outside from outside our solar system, something that is interstellar. And I'm thinking here about the love of God. We're going to think about the interstellar love of God. God's love hurtles through the universe towards us. And wonderfully, it doesn't actually pass us by, but it lands on us, on you, personally. And Psalm 107 wants to get you and me to look at it, to ponder it. And so we're going to do that. We're going to look at three wonderful things about the loving deeds of the Lord. We're going to look at how rebels are redeemed, how the desperate are delivered, and how the upright get justice. So firstly then, how the rebels are redeemed, verses 1 to 4. Now we've looked at Psalms from book 1 and book 3 of the book of Psalms. And here in Psalm 107, we come to book 5, right at the beginning of book 5. And actually, this is crucial for understanding this psalm. The psalm before it, Psalm 106, is right at the end of book 4. And the situation there in Psalm 106 has been spiritually very desperate. It talks there about how God's people had become rebels under judgment. They had repeatedly forgotten the Lord, they'd run after idols, they hated God's blessings, they grumbled, they even went in for human sacrifice. It was a spiritual disaster. You can read through it later on. So by the end of Psalm 106, the people are facing the Lord's anger, the Lord's judgment. They're corrupt, they're hopeless, they're rejected. But strikingly, in the middle of that, they still cry out to the Lord of covenant love, just like we were looking at in Psalm 85. So have a look at verse 47 of Psalm 106. Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. They prayed. They didn't simply kind of have a kind of wistful hope that things might get better, but they sought the Lord. They cried out to him in the middle of the darkness. Save us, Lord. Bring us home to the land and to you. Save us that we might be yours again, that we might seek you and know your glory. So at the end of Psalm 106, it's a spiritual disaster. The people are praying, and we're left hanging. The people are in exile, they're under judgment. And then you get to Psalm 107, book 5 of the Psalms. Now, book 5 of the Psalms has got lots of psalms of rescue and praise. The Psalter as a whole goes, you know, up. There's lots of ups and downs. But in the ups and downs, it moves towards praise. That's the direction of the Christian life, isn't it? The Psalter anticipates our discipleship. You know, you go through the sin of Psalm 32. You cry out in neediness in Psalm 85. You fall into despair in Psalm 88. But all the time, you are moving towards unrelenting joy in the world to come. And when you get to the end of the Psalter, they really belt it out. Last 5 psalms, kind of praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then we get a taste of the world to come. And we will be on our faces before the Lamb, crying out, worthy, worthy, worthy. So Psalm 107 comes at the beginning of this book, book 5. And it's something of a turning point, a turning of the tide. It shows us actually the Lord answering that prayer at the end of Psalm 106. Look at how it begins. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Here there is overflowing thankfulness and praise because the people experience the answer to the prayer at the end of Psalm 106. Once they were rebels, but now they become the redeemed of the Lord. They were in exile, but they're brought out of captivity. Have a look at verses 2 to 3. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. There's been a search and rescue mission. The shepherd has gone looking for the sheep, and he's brought them home from every point of the compass. There's no place too hard for the shepherd to reach his lost sheep. And Psalm 107 is their testimony. It tells us what the Lord has done for them. It's a story of his interstellar love, his loving deeds. And as they ponder those loving deeds, they erupt in praise. Back in Psalm 106, they'd been worshipping the Baal gods, following the nations around them and sacrificing their kids. Not good behaviour. But now they return as worshippers of the Lord, and their prayer has been answered, they're being transformed. And so this psalm is driven by happy gratitude. Now, I just need a little bit of help now, and I just wonder if I could have a few volunteers. Could someone just read out verse 8 for us, nice and loud, verse 8.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity.
Thank you. Verse 15.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind.
Thank you. Verse 21.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind.
Verse 31.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind.
Repetition. Repetition of what? The loving deeds of the Lord, his unfailing love. Not just once, but 4 times. It's not that, you know, you... Like a kid writing their thank you note, you know, write your thank you note, okay, done, like, you know, send a card now. No. We're not doing that. We're going to thank the Lord. This is not a mere formality. This is a celebration. When you meet the Lord's love, You are left grateful when you know you've been a mess, when you know you've been a big sinner, when you know you've wandered off, when you know you deserve nothing, and the Lord steps in, it drives gratitude. You know that everything has been received and not achieved. You know you haven't got what you deserve, but you got what you didn't deserve. You've met unfailing love, and that drives gratitude and praise. Now this morning, you and I are here because of unfailing love. Even if you're not a Christian here today, God has brought you here out of love for you. And you might still need to respond to that love and own it and take hold of it. But all of us who know Jesus, we certainly know the love of God. That's why we're here. That's the kind of foundation in this room. The judge has become our saviour. We've been brought from death to life, from light to darkness, from condemnation to justification, from slavery to freedom, from lostness to being found. And we are now the redeemed. We are defined by unfailing love. Now just think about that phrase, unfailing love. A love that does not fail, a steadfast love. That love is the most certain thing in your life today. It is more certain than your suffering. It is more certain than your sins. It is more certain than wrath. It is more certain than your money. It is more certain the lovely house which you've put your heart and soul into. It's more certain than your loved ones. It's more certain than your husband or your wife. It's more certain than your health. In Psalm 63, David says, your love is better than life. Love, this love is more certain than your life, your beating heart. You are defined by unfailing love. And it surrounds you, it encompasses you. You are surrounded by songs of deliverance, Psalm 32, verse 7. And you are surrounded by love. Now, when you and I start to get that, gratitude will flow. And if all of that just feels logically true, you understand it, but emotionally unmoving, well, what you need to do is some pondering, as it says here in verse 43. Do some considering, some thinking. Maybe just take verse 8 and pray it through and do it again and again and again until you get your heart aligned with the truth. Pondering produces praise. And if you do that, slowly thanksgiving will erupt in your life. So we see something about the redeemed of the Lord. Secondly, the desperate are delivered, verses 5 to 32. Now, as I've said, all of us are here this weekend because of unfailing love. We know salvation. We have a story of salvation in our lives, how Jesus has stepped into our lives. And that might look very ordinary. It might look very dramatic. It may have been sudden. It might have been just very kind of long term. But all of us know the rescue of Jesus today. And this psalm is a story of rescue and salvation. And in verses 4 to 32, we get four examples of God's saving power. There's a lot of repetition in this psalm. It describes how the Lord has saved his people on multiple occasions. He's brought them out of exile and brought them home. And in each example given between verses 4 and 32, you get some kind of trap or mess. We don't know if it's kind of literal or just picture language, but trap or mess. And the people find themselves in a desperate, impossible situation. And the Lord intervenes. So verses 4 to 9, the people are homeless. They're lost in the desert wastelands. They're hungry, thirsty, slowly dying. Verses 10 to 16, they're imprisoned in darkness. They're suffering. They're chained up, completely helpless. Verses 17 to 22, they're in affliction. They are starving and close to death. And then 23 to 32, they're in a scary storm. Remember, the Israelites don't like water. Yeah, very scary. Think big snowdrifts for Brits, okay? Terrifying. Armageddon has come. They're overwhelmed by mountain-like waves. They are at their wits' end. Now, the point here is that they are in desperate, impossible situations. Homeless, they're in prison, they're afflicted, they're storm-tossed. And worst of all, the people in this situation, because of their sin. Verse 11, they've rebelled against the Lord's commands. Verse 17, they have been foolish rebels. So it's not looking good. It's not looking good. But brilliantly, their story doesn't end there. Because in each situation, they cry out to the Lord. just as they did at the end of Psalm 106. And what happens? The Lord hears and he delivers in a remarkable way. In Psalm 88, there was no answer, but here there are dramatic answers. Verse 6, they cried out and he delivered. Verse 13, they cried out in their trouble and he saved them. Verse 19, they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them. Verse 28, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he brought them out of distress. They cried, he delivered, he saved, he brought them out of distress. Now notice when the Lord answers, there is a bigness to the Lord's answer. The Lord answers maximally, not minimally. He does a proper job, a complete job. The people don't just escape danger. They don't just get out of their fix, but we read, they're given a city. They're satisfied. The hungry are filled. The chains are broken. The bars of iron are seared in two. They are healed. They are rescued from the grave. The storm is stilled. They are led. They are guided again and again and again. In other words, they don't sort themselves out and pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They don't break out of prison, but the Lord sorts them out. The Lord delivers them. Now, we might ask, you know, why four examples? Why can't we just have one? You know, it's a bit of a long psalm. You know, you have the reading, you think, oh, it's going to be a long sermon. It's going to go on forever. Oh, man, you kind of drift off. Couldn't this be edited? You know, get a bit tighter. You know, a bit redundant. Well, the point of the repetition is to drive home the reality of the Lord's interstellar love. The point is to rub it into our souls. We don't believe it if we hear it just once. You've got to hear it again and again and again and again. It's saying to us, look, don't think that crying out is a waste of time. You've got a Lord of unfailing love, a Lord who delivers the desperate. Four times we get to see the power of prayer. And of course, the power doesn't lay in us. The people here have been a mess. The power lays in the wisdom, love, and goodness of the Lord, the Lord of unfailing love. And so your desperation today is not an obstacle to the Lord's saving power. No, your desperation is the opportunity. The one who is exalted above the heavens loves to stoop. He loves to hear what you need. He loves to hear you call upon him. He loves to step in. And he does it again and again and again. And he loves to give you more than you love to get. Have a think about that. He loves to give more than you love to get his blessings. He loves to bless you more than you want to be blessed. He loves to bring you the biggest blessings rather than the smallest. Don't think that crying out to him in your mess is a waste of time. And the stories here, they show us that he will cross deserts, descend into darkness, break bars of iron, and walk through storms to save you. In fact, he will do more than that. He will come from heaven to earth and then across for you. And you might be lost and hungry and feel like you are in chains. You might be overwhelmed and at your wit's end, and the storm might be descending upon you right this second. But cry out to him. He acts, he delivers. He's the Lord who answers before you call. Isaiah 65:24. He's the Lord who delivers as you speak. And the result of all of this is praise. Now, here's the slightly funny thing is, you see, if we're going to praise, we need to pray. See, if we don't pray, we don't get answers to prayer. Sometimes we complain, oh, the Lord isn't answering my prayer, but I haven't actually prayed. So we've got to pray to get the answer. And then when you get the answer, you praise. Prayer, answer to prayer, praise. That's how it works. Psalm 106, verse 47, save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Save us, Lord, so that we'll be thanking you and praising you. What a great way of approaching God. Answer this, Lord, so that I'll praise you. And so the praise and thanksgiving in Psalm 107 is a result of the praying in Psalm 106, getting answered. They cry out. They get answers, he delivers. So, answers to prayer will drive our praise and our thanksgiving. Pray and you'll find praise and thanksgiving and songs of joy overflowing in your life. This is the Lord of unfailing love. Go to him with your need, cry out in your distress, and gratitude will overflow in your life. Lastly, the upright get justice, verses 33 to 42. Now, we don't live in a just world, do we? The world is full of injustice, and you know, on the big scale of countries and nations and the small scale of our lives. You know, you read these awful stories, kids kidnapped in Ukraine and sent into forced adoption in Russia, a woman trapped in terrifying domestic violence, a young man who's had his mental health broken by a nasty boss. Justice is frequently not done. We live in a world of injustice. But that is not how it is with the Lord. The Lord always acts in justice for his people. He always acts in justice. And everything the Lord is doing here as he saves his people is the outworking of his saving and delivering work. His love and salvation for his people means justice for them. He brings the great reversal. When God steps in, there is a great turnaround. Things don't go as people thought they would. And so we read here at the end of the psalm, the blessing the enemies had enjoyed is taken away. The vulnerability of God's people is transformed. Their lack is filled. The haves become the have-nots, and the have-nots become the haves. And so we read verse 42, the upright. Verse 36, the hungry. Verse 41, the needy are helped. In other words, the upright here are the vulnerable, the powerless, the lacking, the oppressed. But the Lord steps in for them. And the fertility and the abundance of the enemies in verses 33 to 34 become a wasteland. But verses 35 to 38, his people's desert becomes prosperity and a fruitful garden. The powerful oppressors, verses 38 to 42, lose their power and privileges, but the needy are lifted up with blessing. Humanly speaking, this would be impossible, but the Lord does it. And so we're reminded here that his unfailing love is not without justice. It rights wrongs and reverses oppression. This is part of his saving work. Don't ever think that the Lord does not care about the things that you have faced. Of course, we know that sometimes what we think is an injustice is not really. You know, maybe I've got a bit of a grudge, to be honest, or I'm feeling bitter. Or actually, it was much more my fault than I would like to admit. Of course. And we are to be people of mercy and forgiveness. But at times we experience real injustices. And it's right, I think, to assume that in this room, some of you have faced some pretty bad injustices in your life. There are things that have never been resolved, and the guilty have not been held to account. Well, today, know that you have a Lord of unfailing love, a Lord who is a God of justice for you. He fights for you, and he brings the great reversal. And those who have afflicted you will either be brought to repentance and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, or they will face his judgment. Verse 42, the upright will see justice done. The mouth of the wicked will be shut. And whether that happens now, whether it happens in future years, or whether it happens on the final day, it will be done. And the judge is perfectly wise. He knows the exact moment when justice should come. And what's the result? Verse 42, praise. The upright see and they rejoice. The result of this justice being enacted is joy and praise and thanksgiving. The great reversal is his people's joy. So, here we are today. We've been pondering, we've been considering, we've been thinking about the interstellar love of the Lord, his loving deeds. And verse 43 tells us that this is wisdom, that the one who is wise heed these things. Wisdom will produce thanksgiving and praise. But let's hear the negative implication. Now, I'm going to say something to you now, and I want you to remember that as I say this, you're commanded to love me. Okay? The negative implication of this is that if you are prayerless, thankless, ungrateful, praiseless, you are a fool. That's the implication, isn't it? If wisdom is pondering the loving deeds of the Lord, which lead to praise, foolishness is ignoring them, which leads to ingratitude. See, our problem if we're not praying is a number of different things. I've mentioned them over the weekend, haven't I? About not feel, there may be pride in our lives, self-sufficiency. There may be a lack of sense of our Father's love. And here it basically says, you're a fool. You're a fool. You don't recognize who God is. So let's not be fools. Let's be wise. Let's resolve to know his loving deeds. They're here in this psalm. They're here throughout the scripture. They're here in the gospel. Let's think about the one who steps into the desert, darkness and desperation for us. Above all, let's think about the one who stepped into the world and onto the cross for us. Let's think about his goodness. Let's think about our great and mighty and loving Saviour. Let's think about the way he loves to answer prayer. Let's do that. And then praise and thanksgiving will erupt in our lives. And we will give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Let's pray. Loving Father, we want to be wise. And thank you that you've given us some wisdom over these days as we've looked at your word. We know there's just so much that needs to be driven into our lives. Help us to ponder. Help us to think. Help us to reflect and to consider all that you are. Father, we don't want to be fools who neglect your ways, who neglect your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your unfailing love. Oh, Father, we lift our eyes today and we think on all that you are and all that you have given. We think on the cross and how you descended in your Son into our world. And we praise you. You are the one who steps into the darkness and the desert and the desperation for us. And we praise you, Father. We live under your goodness. We live under your grace, under your mercy. We live with hope of answered prayer and expectation of your intervention. And we praise you. In the name of Christ, amen.